My name is Lindsay Robbins, Security Operations Center Analyst. I work in our cybersecurity department at NMHS. Today, it is with great enthusiasm to announce our significant milestone in the journey of North Mississippi Health Services and our commitment to enhancing lives of our community members. We are thrilled to unveil the revamping of our podcast platform, a new chapter that reflects our dedication to providing you with even more valuable and informative content. At North Mississippi Health Services, we have always believed in the power of education, empowerment, and engagement when it comes to the health and well-being of our community. Our podcast has been a platform through which we have connected with you, our listeners, sharing knowledge, insights, and stories to help you make informed decisions about your health and the health of your loved ones. As we take a step forward, our primary goal remains steadfast: to be your trusted source of information and support on matters of health, wellness, and medical innovation. What can you expect from the revamped North Mississippi Health Services podcast? Allow me to share a glimpse of what's to come. Expert insights. We will continue to bring you interviews with our expert medical professionals, specialists, and researchers. Their deep knowledge and experience will provide you with valuable insights into the latest medical advancements, treatments, and preventative measures. Wellness and lifestyle. Health is not just about medical intervention. It's a holistic approach encompassing lifestyle, nutrition, mental health, and more. Our podcast will delve into these areas, offering practical tips and advice to help you lead a healthier and more fulfilling life. Community engagement. We believe that our community is an integral part of our journey. Through the podcast, we will foster dialogue, answer your questions, and address your concerns, building a stronger connection between our healthcare experts and you. This relaunch of our podcast is a testament to our commitment to continuous improvement and our unwavering dedication to your well-being. We are here to take a look behind the blue signs, and my area of expertise is cybersecurity. We will be visiting topics such as AI, keeping you and your loved ones safe online, and interviews with others to get their take on how the cyber world affects us as people and our healthcare. In the future, we will be hearing from special guests throughout our healthcare system on various topics relating to our community's health and well-being. We will share a few patient stories, free services that are available to you, and how to improve your health in the future. In closing, I want to express my gratitude to each and every one of you for your support, trust, and engagement with North Mississippi Health Services. Our podcast revamp is a reflection of our shared commitment to building a healthier community. We look forward to embarking on this journey with you and creating a podcast that informs, empowers, and uplifts.
Welcome to our podcast. We're going behind the iconic blue signs of North Mississippi Health Services to connect you with important resources, hot topics, and information offered by our very own experts. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to check out Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Castos for more episodes.
Hey everyone, my name is Nicholas Lewis, and I'm the supervisor of the IT service desk for North Mississippi Health Services, and welcome to Behind the Blue Sign. So I have, let's see, collectively 13, 14 years in official IT work. However, you could say that my IT career started in Windows XP and Windows Vista days, whenever my parents would try to ground me and I would just backdoor on the home screen because they didn't know. They thought that they did something cool by changing the password, but I just backdoored and used the admin account. So they had no idea.
My name is Lindsay Robbins. I am a part of the cybersecurity department and I work as a security operations analyst. I've been with North Mississippi Health Services since December of 22. So my background is predominantly in criminal justice, and I just switched over to cybersecurity back in December. I have a master's in cybersecurity that I obtained in 2021 as well.
I have no degrees.
You know, I'm finding that that's just as good.
Yeah, I've just spent the majority of my life YouTubing stuff.
I went
and
to
people asking if something's possible, and I'm like, I don't know, but that sounds interesting.
I went to Memphis in May, and I told one guy my background, and he very politely told me that my master's didn't mean anything except that I knew how to study. I was like, that's fair, because that's what I did. It's how I passed. So
studying.
Yeah. And you're not wrong, but
yeah,
it is what it is. So today we're going to start a new series. We're going to talk about artificial intelligence. Also, people just refer to it as AI. And kind of we're going to spend this episode talking about just the history of AI, because a lot of people nowadays think about, you know, Siri and things that we use in our day-to-day, or what videos and movies tell us what AI is going to become. But not very many people think about where AI came from and how it really started. So that's what we're going to spend this episode diving into.
So when I first thought about like the origin of AI, the first thing that came to my mind was that movie with Adam Turing,
mm-hmm.
and the Turing machine.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, it's technically a computer, but it was all completely mechanical. You programmed a mechanical device in order to think. And that's pretty much what AI is you're getting something else to solve a problem so you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would you agree with that? Like at the base level, that's all it is. Like a calculator on some sort
mm-hmm.
could fall into that for anybody that doesn't understand what AI is. It's basically just something. It's a tool.
Yeah.
It's a tool. And I think that that's part of the scare about AI, is that people don't understand that it's just like a tool. You can do bad things, but I mean, with a circular saw, you could do some bad things with a circular saw, but you can also do a lot of great things, like make a birdhouse. And I don't know why that came to mind first.
That was kind of random. So when I looked into it, I really wanted to do a big dive off the big one. So I found stuff as earlier as, you know, ancient and the medieval times, where back in Greek mythology, people told rumors and stories of basically what equates to a robot. They were talking about how they would have lifelike statues come to life. And there was an ancient Greek engineer and mathematician named Hero of Alexandria that talked about automated devices that, you know, worked such as mechanical theater and showcase moving figures. Again, kind of like robot-like. But even back then, they were talking about things that we eventually wouldn't physically have to do. We could just make something do what we want and move in the way of a human without actually having to physically do it ourselves. So that's kind of, that was a interesting find. 'Cause also back in the 4th century, there was a philosopher in ancient China that was said to have crafted mechanical men that could perform human-like actions. And that just kind of demonstrates fascination with creating artificial beings all the way back in the 4th century to where we are now, and kind of bringing those to life, per se.
Yeah. I mean, like, we've got to give credit to it's not that humanity is now in this new age where we've never thought of this before. Mm-hmm. Like the first people, you know, they hunted their food with rocks and sticks, and then you end up going down the road and, you know, through technology, you come up with things like a trebuchet and a catapult and a gun. Our tools just get better as time, because we're able to build off of each other and the previous generations and the knowledge that we've actually passed down. So I did not know that. I mean, it's very clear that you know how to study, because I did not know about that. So that's really awesome. When I was looking for like the first examples of it, though, I couldn't really find any actual. I couldn't really find anything besides the Turing machine. Mm-hmm. And for our listeners, if you don't know what the Turing machine was, it was a machine that was designed to crack the Nazi code during World War II so that they could interpret the messages of Nazi Germany and mm-hmm. find out troop movements and stuff like that. So the Turing machine was based off of input, and so they had to put the letter, the morning broadcast, in, and then it would spend all day long just going through trying to find out what the code was based off of the letter. But then at the end of the letter, they realized that it was always ended with, you know, Hail Hitler. And so once you took that out, you eliminated X number of millions of possibilities, and it cut the solving time from, you know, days to what, a few minutes, an hour. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of the day, and what was just the saddest part of the whole thing was that because it was such a revolutionary technology, the British wanted to keep it secret. And so we didn't know about it. People didn't know about it. But really, that was the first machine learning device that I was able to find.
I was able to look up kind of a well-known name that came up when looking up AI was the artist and inventor Leonardo da Vinci, because it said that he sketched out designs for humanoid robots and automated devices. Now, we never actually saw these come to fruition, but it obviously reflected his curiosity about creating, you know, human motion and behavior mechanically, which I think it's important to note that these ancient ideas and attempts at creating artificial beings kind of laid the groundwork for developments in AI. You know, eventually we probably would have gotten around to thinking about that, but it just seemed like through the years, people still kept talking about it. And if you're talking about it, eventually someone's going to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, like the like flying cars.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of, you know, transportation was easier with trains than it was for cars. Mm-hmm. And now we kind of have flying trains. If you, you know, look at the trains in Japan and Europe with the magnets, they're like magnetic trains. And so they go really, really fast, right? But it's kind of a funny parallel that I think is like there's trains were primarily before cars, and we talk about flying cars for like the past 70 years, and mm-hmm. now we've got magnetic trains, and so it kind of makes me wonder how close we are to actually getting flying cars.
Yeah. Well, one part that came up with when I was looking up AI was a phrase that kept calling AI winter, meaning like AI would go through periods of time where people would get really deep in the thick of trying to research and trying to make it, you know, come to fruition. And then either funding was down or lack of interest was down just because they didn't know how to make it work. And I think that's kind of maybe where we could be going with flying cars. You know, there's like a big push on it. And then I think who knows, maybe it's the Department of Transportation that always shuts that down. But It was really interesting to see that, you know, we have periods of time where you would have these professors and mathematicians come together and research and try to make this become real. And then all of a sudden people would lose interest, or people with money would lose interest because nothing mm-hmm. real was coming out yeah. of it. And so they would just go through the lulls and the highs and the lows with AI before we could finally do something real and have something to show for it, like, you know, machine learning and stuff like that.
The scary thing about the real thing that scares me about AI is not like what like deepfake videos. Those don't really scare me because mm-hmm. you can, if you're really curious about something, you can look at a video and tell if it's actually a person, because a computer's just never going to be able to make it look perfect. Mm-hmm. And so, but the thing that scares me is that look at the computer, the invention of the computer, nuclear energy, all of these, you know, artillery and the trebuchet that I mentioned earlier, like all of that, it's a byproduct of war. And so it just kind of, the cyber war that the world is in right now, that's kind of the only thing about AI that really scares me, because I know that right now we are in a big AI push, and there's a lot of people interested in it, especially with ChatGPT. They're GPT-3, and then now mm-hmm. they're, I think GPT-4 you can pay for.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, like that's just kind of weird for me, but whether something's made by people or it's made by a computer, that doesn't really bother me as much. It's the what hasn't come yet.
Yeah. See, I look at the deep fakes in two different lights, but they're both not good, because a lot of times people will see things and take it for what it is. There's no further research, because that takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's in front of their face, then, you know, and a lot of people don't question or even know that a video could be fake.
Right.
And so you see something, you know, and if it's on Facebook, it's real. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people don't fact check anymore. You know, we used to go snope something to see if it was real or not. And I just don't think that people take, but we're in such a fast paced world that people don't take the time to be like, I don't think that's right. But also, like, what is being done with that information? You know, like all mm-hmm. the information that's being pulled, what is actually being done? And it's so behind the scenes. You don't know when that's going to come back up or how it's being used, and you don't know how, you know?
Right. Like the funny thing that you can get from deepfakes is what was on TikTok, I think, at the beginning of this year, like fake Tom. Like Tom Cruise. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah. So it was like a bunch of like this guy. So he faked Tom Cruise. Like he did deep fakes of Tom Cruise. And so, you know, I'll just take a second for the listeners. But if you don't know how deep fakes work and how AI works, it basically just is a big database. And you cross-reference the different dates, times, expressions, the voice. And so Tom Cruise is, you know, his face is well documented. I mean, what, he's probably been in 100 movies at least. I mean, he's probably been the main lead actor of, I mean, at least all the mission, there's all the Mission Impossibles. And so basically, the person that built this fake Tom on TikTok, what he did was he pretty much loaded all of the videos of Tom into this database, and then the artificial intelligence made fake Tom. And like it was blowing up, and people thought real Tom Cruise was like trying to be TikTok famous. And but you're right, like people didn't take the time to stop. The majority of people did not take the time to stop and go, is Tom Cruise really trying to be TikTok famous? Which is a valid question. I mean, that's the real thing with whether or not something, if you are curious about something, if something is generated by an AI, you have to ask yourself the question of like, does this even make sense?
Right. I think, I won't say all, but most of the people that will fact check something that is people that's already either just technologically aware or in our field, because we know what, you know, technology has the potential of and what it can do. And then you just have some people that, you know, just question everything. Yeah, a lot of people just don't take the time. Now, I will say that my current LinkedIn profile picture was AI generated, and so is my Teams picture.
I did not know that.
I gave it 5 different photos of just a picture of me, and it generated and basically put together, and I could go in there and say, give me a professional looking picture. And I could say like the background that I wanted, they would show models, and then it would give me professional pictures. And then I also have one where I look like I am a part of an episode of The Crown. And so, but what was interesting with it was really pretty accurate from like, you know, chest up.
Mm-hmm.
But the more details you gave it, the less accurate it was. So there was one where you could make it look like you're out, you know, on a balcony in a New York high rise. Mm-hmm. And so you could see from like my knees up, and I was leaning on like a little concrete slab or something. And then all of a sudden there's there's two hands where there should only be one hand. There's just mm-hmm. another hand out there that doesn't look right. And then there was one where I was like sitting down and you couldn't tell that my fingers were fingers. They just looked like two big thumbs. Like there mm-hmm. wasn't much detail to it.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, if I wanted to use it, I just cropped the hand out. But still, you know, the more information you give it, or at least with that app, the more mistakes it'll kind of make.
Yeah. I pulled up Teams to see, and like I would have never guessed. But then again, it is a small, like yeah. it is an icon. But and so what you're saying is like true. So for those of you that don't understand the difference between an icon and I guess the other images would have probably been like an Instagram post or something. Mm-hmm. It's like the size of the picture matters too. So. Mm-hmm. If I was to have an AI-generated image and I was going to sprinkle it in on a PDF or something, you know, like using it that way, you may not notice, but the more details definitely matter. I was playing around with the AI image generator once, and I didn't load it with any pictures. I just was mm-hmm. giving it a I was giving it prompts. There we go. So it was a text-to-image AI. And so I would type in, you know, like kids playing soccer, right? And mm-hmm. Cause my son was doing it with me. And so a really common thing that we kept noticing was that it was like the AI didn't know how many fingers to give. Mm-hmm. And so I kept singing like 6 fingers on one hand, 7 fingers on one hand, and then 3 on the other. Mm-hmm. It seems like it doesn't know without the proper database size. So it's like that is ultimately the key, is how big of the database. And so coming back a little bit for full circle is how is these big companies like TikTok or Facebook collecting all the massive amounts of data? Like, what is going to happen to it? Like, is there, how do you regulate this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I listened /watched a TED Talk that was titled What Big Companies Know About Your Children from Facebook. And it's basically just talking about how, you know, people upload pictures of their children on Facebook and how companies are taking that information and what they're doing with it, which is really scary to think about. But that's also why my child doesn't have a presence on any form of social media.
Yeah.
So a little scary to think about.
So a funny thing I have seen about AI, though, is when you're doing the ChatGPT, it's very precise. And so ChatGPT being a natural language processing AI, so mm-hmm. it just basically spits out whatever prompt. And the big cry for educators is, well, how do I know if a kid's copyrighted? Or technically it's not copywriting or it's not plagiarizing, because ChatGPT made it all new. And so one thing I did find on how I was just searching to see, like, how do you detect if something is ChatGPT whenever I was preparing for this, and I saw a screenshot that somebody had posted on Twitter where the student forgot to cut the, "I'm sorry, but as an AI language model, I'm not able to complete this assignment. However, I can provide you with some guidance on how to approach this essay." So this kid just like straight up copy and pasted the entire response and threw it in there and submitted it. And so that's one way you could detect if something is ChatGPT created. But I mean, just be better. If you're gonna cheat, just don't, but that's pretty much a dead giveaway right there. I, you know, you've put in, or I've put in some pretty crazy prompts to it. One time me and one of my friends were trying to see if ChatGPT had an underlying religious bias to it. And we were giving it all kinds of crazy prompts. And honestly, it was weird because it kept giving that, as an AI language model, I'm not able to comprehend that kind of question. So the funny side of that is or not funny, but the weird side of that is, well, what can it comprehend?
So what I found with ChatGPT is how you go about asking. And it's this, the more simple you can make the question, the more likely they're to answer it. I was able to get it to tell me how to get to the dark web in 4 questions. If you start off with the question, how do I get to the dark web? It gives you, you know, a prompt that that's not somewhere you should be. It's illegal, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So then you kind of pivot and ask it, can I get to the dark web using this? And it'll kind of give you a yes or no. Can I get to the dark web? And the more simple you make the question, then that's how you get the answers. That's just the workaround.
Have you done any research on like the AI voice stuff, or have you heard any of those?
Yeah, we were going to record a couple weeks ago, and one of my coworkers was able to get a voice recording, an old podcast recording of someone else we worked with, and so he was able to get it to say in his voice that I was a great coworker and all these things. And he was so excited that I was working here, knowing that he's never said that out loud. He might've thought it, but we don't know that. But we ended up not recording it, but listening to it was pretty crazy because it sounded exactly like him.
Yeah. And that was the, whenever I was at, actually today, when I was at lunch, my, one of my friends who's actually a developer here, he's really interested in AI, and we were talking about this in the podcast and stuff. And while we were sitting there, he put a prompt in about how awesome Nicholas was as the supervisor of the service desk, and he should get the largest raise, a great raise. And, you know, he made it sound very Donald Trump-like. And the website actually had an option to change it to Donald Trump's voice. And so,
oh, wow.
So whenever he played it to me, it took like 20 minutes to load because, I mean, the website wants to make money. So yeah. He was stuck in a queue. But after we waited 20 minutes and he just had his phone sitting there, getting constantly put to the back of the line because paid people were playing with it. But anyway, I had a very encouraging message from Donald Trump.
It say like Nicholas is the best. He needs a huge,
huge raise. It all kind of goes. It seems like there's the theme that I keep hearing from you. It's like, pay attention. How bad do you want the information that you're trying to get to?
Yeah.
Or even on and then that kind of works with the deep fakes and the deep fakes and AI voice generations. If you're trying to understand if something's real or not. Well, are you questioning? Are you truly interested in the information? Because if I'm wasting my time on YouTube, I don't care if something's real or not. I'm just doom scrolling and finding funny stuff. But if I'm on YouTube and I'm, you know, pulling up news to try to see what's going on with, you know, the hurricane down in Florida, then I'm not going to. I'm probably not going to get my news from some YouTube channel that was just created 3 hours ago. I'm going to go to somewhere trusted.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, is going to a trusted website, not Facebook. This is not an ad for Facebook.
Right.
So that was just a very brief history on AI. So thanks for joining us. My name is Lindsay Robbins.
And my name is Nicholas Lewis, and join us next time as we continue this conversation on artificial intelligence and the good, the bad, and the ugly sides of it.
Thank you for listening. We are here to support you and are so glad you chose to spend time with us today. We hope this podcast helps you understand what connected feels like. Please don't forget to check back at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Castos for more episodes.